ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸೊ ವಿ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ 10th ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 64 ದ ಡೆಲಿವರೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಮೃಗ. I know that students have to leave at 8:30, right? So I'll try to go through this quickly. We'll chant 6 responsively and the first 5 verses together. So first I'll read the introduction here. So this chapter describes how Shri Krishna released King Mriga from a curse and instructed the royal order on the great danger of taking a Brahmana's property. One day Samba and the other young boys of the Yadava dynasty went to the forest to play. And after playing for a long time, they became very thirsty and began looking for water. Inside a dry well, they found an amazing creature, a huge lizard resembling a hill. The boys felt sorry for it and tried to pull it out. But after several attempts with leather thongs and ropes, they saw that they would not be able to rescue the creature. And thus they went to Lord Krishna and told him what had happened. The Lord accompanied them to the well and, extending his left hand, easily lifted the lizard out. By the touch of Lord Krishna's hand, the creature transformed at once into a demigod. Then Lord Krishna asked, "Who are you and how did you assume such a lowly form?" The divine being replied, "My name was King Mriga, son of Ikshvaku, and I was famous for giving charity. Indeed, I gave away countless cows to numerous Brahmins. But on one occasion, a cow belonging to a first-class Brahmin wandered into my herd. Unaware of this, I gave this cow in charity to a different Brahmin. When the cow's previous owner saw the second Brahmana taking the cow away, the first Brahmana claimed the cow as his and began arguing with the second Brahmana. After quarreling for some time, they approached me and I implored them to take 100,000 cows in exchange for that one cow and to please forgive me for the offense I had unknowingly committed. But neither Brahman would accept my proposal and the matter remained unsettled. Shortly thereafter, I died and was taken by the Yamadutas to the court of Yamaraj. Yama asked me which I prefer to do first, suffer the results of my sins or enjoy the results of my pious acts. I decided to suffer my sinful reactions first, and thus I assumed the body of a lizard. After King Mriga had told his story, he offered prayers to Lord Krishna and then mounted a celestial airplane which transported him to heaven. Lord Krishna then instructed his personal associates, as well as the general mass of people, on the dangers of stealing a Brahmin's property. Finally, the Lord returned to his palace. So text 1. Shri Badarayanair Uvacha, we'll chant together. Badarayanair Uvacha Ekadopavanam Rajan Jagmuryadu Kumaraka Vihartum Samapradyumna Charu Bhanu Gadadaya. Shri Badarayani said, O king, one day Samba, Pradyumna, Charu, Bhanu, Gada, and other young boys of the Yadu dynasty went to a small forest to play. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami states that the story of King Mriga, narrated in this chapter, is meant to give sober instructions to all proud kings. Through this incident, Lord Krishna also gave serious lessons to the members of his own family who had become proud of their opulences. Text 2. Kreditva suchiram tatra vichinvantaha vipasita jalam nirudake kupe dadrushuh sattva madhutam. After playing for a long time, they became thirsty. As they searched for water, they looked inside a dry well and saw a peculiar creature. Krikalasam giri nibham viksha vismitamanasa tasya chodharane yatnam chakruste kripayanvita. The boys were astonished to behold this creature, a lizard who looked like a hill. They felt sorry for it and tried to lift it out of the well. Charmajay stanta vahi pashair badhva patitamarbhaka nashaknuran samudhartun krishnaya achakhyurutsuka. They caught on to the trapped lizard with leather thongs and then with woven ropes, but they still could not lift it out. So they sent Lord Krishna. So they went to Lord Krishna and excitedly told him about the creature. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that because in this chapter the Yadu boys, even Sri Pradyumna are described as quite young, this must be an early pastime. Text 5. Tatragatyaravindaksho Bhagavan Vishwabhavanaha Viksho Jaharavamena Tam Karena Salilaya. The lotus-eyed Supreme Lord, maintainer of the universe, went to the well and saw the lizard. Then with his left hand, he easily lifted it out. So now, text 6 will chant responsibly. Sa uttama shloka karapi mrishto. Oh, sorry. This is difficult. Try again. Sa uttama shloka karapi mrishto. Vihay sadhya krikala surupam. Santapta chami karacharu varna. Svargi adbhutalankaranam barasruk. Sa uttama shloka karabhimrishto. Vihaya sadhya krikala surupam. Santapta chami karacharu varna. Svargi adbhutanam karanam barasrat. Prabhus. Savuttama shlok. Students. So uttama shloka karabhimrishto. Thank you. So the translation, touched by the hand of the glorious Supreme Lord, the being at once gave up its lizard form and assumed that of a resident of heaven. His complexion was beautifully colored like molten gold, and he was adorned with wonderful ornaments, clothes, and garlands. Om Agyana Kimiranda Sidhyana Nina Shilakaya Chakshuva Nilipam Nina Tasman Shri Maha. So, this always happens with me. I just clicked on a button and I lost mine. Now I got to figure out how to go back to it. I wonder why this happens. Maybe it's a sign that I should stop relying on electronics. Well, I found it. I was told that you have to leave early today, so I'm going to change all the sequence of how I was going to present today's lecture at the cost of not sounding very coherent. But I want to get something across to the students here, so I'll go to the second half of my talk first. So I will start with a question. Who thinks Krishna is, well, we'll go to that first, later. So who is left-handed here? Left-handed. Okay, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And who's right-handed? Okay, so it's going to be hard to count that. So I'm going to say, eyeballing it, maybe 30 people, something like that. So a smaller percentage of people are left-handed. Most of them are right-handed. So the left-handed people are special, I would say. Now, if you look at today's verse, Krishna is touching the lizard with Vamena Karena, Vama, left hand. He's touching the lizard with the left hands. So who thinks Krishna is right-handed here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Who thinks Krishna is left-handed? Well, most people think Krishna is left-handed. Okay. I'm not sure what hand he is. I just set you up to commit into something. So, you know, the verse, Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vrittimanti. Do you have questions? Yes, Sheena. He's probably ambidextrous. Another suggestion, same suggestion? That's probably what I would, that would be the safe proposition. Because saying he's left or right-handed would limit him in some people's eyes. So, Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vrittimanti. His senses, any sense can do the work of any other sense. So the left hand can do the work of the right hand can do the work of the left hand. Having said this, I did some research because I keep coming across this theme of Krishna using his left hand. And I found a lot of places where he uses the left hand in doing things. So I'm just going to go through the list. It's a very long list actually. And there might be, of course, more and I must have missed out. But the interesting thing is that I didn't really find any place where it says that he used his right hand. Maybe because of a lack of good research, but at least in my looking, I didn't find it. So, Krishna is helping this person with his left hand, clearly. So, in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, Lord Brahma prays to Krishna. And in that prayer, the first verse of the 14th canto, Naumidyate Abhravapushe Taridambaraya. In the purport of that verse, it's explained that Krishna is holding in his left hand a mixture of yogurt and rice, kavala. Yogurt and rice is his left hand. If you have seen the Srimad Bhagavatam, the book, the painting in it, Lord Brahma is bowing down and then Krishna is standing under a tree, I think, and his left hand has the rice. So, you know, at least, I don't know about you, but growing up in India, I was always instructed to use my right hand for eating everything else. And one girl asked me about it, and I didn't quite scratch my head to explain it, because it's kind of a gross explanation. So we'll skip it for Bhagavatam class. But the Krishna is endearing in this, that he holds the rice in his left hand. He's not supposed to do that, but he's doing it because he's a child, you would say. He doesn't know better, right? And Lord Brahma has been humbled by this child who doesn't even know that the rice should be held in his right hand. That's the concept there. So Krishna is all-powerful, all-knowing, but he bewilders even Lord Brahma. And so the fact that he's holding it in his right, left hand, although he's all perfect, dharmam tu saksha bhagavat pranitam, makes him endearing to his devotees. So that's one example. Can somebody tell me another example of Krishna using his left hand for something? Yes, Lakshmi? Govardhan Hill, holding up Govardhan Hill. He held it up on the pinky of his left hand. So I looked up the Bhagavatam, and surprisingly enough, it doesn't say he lifts it with his left hand. But in the purport, it's written, and I assume this was by the disciple Srila Prabhupada, they quote the Harivamsa. In the Harivamsa, there's this verse, phrase, Sa dhritah sangato meghai girihi savvena panina, savya, left hand. So he lifted the giri, the mountain, with his left hand. Anybody knows any other pastimes where he uses his left hand? Yes, he did kill somebody with his left hand. He killed Keshi with his left hand. So Keshi, he stuck his left hand into his mouth, and then swelled up. The hand swelled up, and Keshi choked and died. So that's how he died. So that's his left hand. He did another two pastimes that I have here with his left hand. Should we play Double Jeopardy? So he used his left hand to catch Kuvalyapeet's trunk in Mathura, the big elephant. He caught his trunk to kill it. And he lifted the bow in Mathura in the sacrificial arena with his left hand. So the idea here is, in these pastimes, is that it's child's left hand's play for him to kill do these things. You know, it's not a big deal at all. You know, lifting up the bow, I can do it with my left hand. You know, I can kill Keshi, he just needs my left hand. He doesn't deserve my right hand, kind of thing. And the bow and the mountain, okay, you know, unless somebody says, well, his right hand was powerful, I can lift it on my left pinky, you know, kind of thing. Now, you know, we leave aside the left and the right and just talk about his hand in general. This is the glory of a personal conception of God. If God has no form, then there's nothing to discuss. Hand, you know, lotus hand, lotus feet, lotus mouth, lotus eyes. But the devotees relish these things. Because of the fact that he has a human-like form, we long for the touch of those parts of his body, which the Mayavadis cannot do. There's no such concept. But for us, Krishna is a person, living person, just like everybody else here. And the devotees not only wish to be in his association, in his company, but long for the touch of his hand. For example, I'll give you examples. Akrura, when he was going to Vrindavan, he was meditating and he wanted Krishna's lotus hand on his head. When will he put his hand on my head? That's what he was saying. Now, Akrura is much, much older to Krishna. Krishna is just a boy, but he knows his position. He's in Dasya Bhav and he wants Krishna's hand on his head. Why? Because he says, when Krishna places his hand on our heads, that removes all fear, abhayam. That's the special quality of his hand. And the example of this is in Prahlad Maharaj's pastime. This is, if you're pulling up verses 7.9.6. In the 7th canto, 9th chapter, 6th verse, Lord Narsingadev, kara, the word kara is the Sanskrit for hand. Kara sparsha. Can't see from here. Dhutakila shubha. If you go down to the translation, by the touch of Lord Narsingadev's hand on Prahlad Maharaj's head, Prahlad was completely freed of all material contaminations and desires. There is the other effect of Krishna's touch. As if he had been thoroughly cleansed. Therefore, once that happened, He at once became transcendentally situated, and all the symptoms of ecstasy became manifest in his body, his heart filled with love, his eyes with tears, and thus he was able to completely capture the lotus feet of the Lord in the core of his heart. So Krishna's hand, when he touched Prahlad Maharaj, so the way it happened was everybody was afraid. Narasimhadev was extremely angry, was boiling with anger, and Brahma, Shiva, even Lakshmi didn't want to be anywhere close. So they put Prahlad Maharaj in the front. So he went and paid his obeisances to Narasimhadev. And as soon as he saw his devotee, Narasimhadev lifted him up, it's described, put his hand on his head. So this is the power of Krishna's affection. More examples. What about when Krishna is driving the chariot and Arjuna is on the chariot, and the scene on the Bhagavad Gita, anybody remember what he has in which hand, Gauranga? Left hand, what does he have? The reins. Wow, I'm impressed, because I didn't know this till I looked it up yesterday. But what does he have in his right hand? Yeah. Somebody else? Yes. Well, Arjuna, when Krishna is driving the chariot, that's what I'm saying. Yes? Gauranga, you want to go? A whip. That's accurate. So Krishna has a whip in his right hand and the reins of the chariot in his left hand when he's riding the chariot. So then there is the Rasa Leela. The Rasa Leela is described that Krishna wipes the perspiration of the faces of the gopis with his hand. When he does that, his hand becomes as fragrant as a sweet flower. That's the description. We just discussed this not too long ago in this class. Last year, maybe. When in the Rasa Leela, Krishna disappears, he puts his left hand on Radharani's shoulder, and his right hand holds a blue lotus. And the reason for that is he used this lotus to swat away the bees that are troubling Radharani. That's what's going on there. Bali Maharaj gave charity, the same section is described. Bali Maharaj gave charity to his hand when he was Vamandev, and he became Indra. You know, he became the king of the whole universe. Krishna's hand also holds the, on the altar, what is he holding? The flute. And he steals ghee and yogurt. So it's very versatile use of his hands. Power, all kinds of mystical powers to kill demons, all kinds of benedictions, you know, offered to his devotees, and all kinds of playful pastimes that he performs with his hands. So this is Purna Brahma. There's a verse there, Aho Bhagyam, Aho Bhagyam, Nanda Gopara Jaukasam. Yan Mitram Paramanandam Purna Brahma Sanatanam. What great good fortune, Aho Bhagyam, of these Braja, Brajaukasam, Okasam, these residents of Braja, that Kesha Prabhu is quick on the draw here. Did you find it? Great, let's look at the translation. How greatly fortunate Ananda Maharaj, the cowherd man, and all the other inhabitants of Rajabhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune. Because the absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal supreme Brahman, Purna Brahma, Paramanandam, has become their friend and mitram. Thank you for staying to the Bhaktivedanta Academy. That's all right, Hare Krishna. All right, so these sweet descriptions of Krishna's form, the different senses, his hands, his lotus feet, his eyes, why are they so stressed in the Bhagavatam? They're so subtle details given, right? His left hand, his right hand. The idea is that we want as much detail as possible about this so that we connect with this form. If it's some just abstract philosophical description, then we're not really interested. I mean, our purpose is not to get a philosophical understanding of God as a person. That's the start. What is our purpose? We want his association. We want to be in his company. And to be in his company and to serve him and to relish being in their position. And to do that, what information do we have in this world? It's the Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamritam. And they're giving us all this information to relish, really. The person becomes real for us when these details are given. That's the understanding. Okay, so now I'm wondering, because we have run out of time, whether I should go back to what... I'll say one more thing. And then I think I will sing something. So this is a very natural metaphor for our existence. We have fallen in the well, and can Krishna take us out of his touch? But this metaphor is already used in the Mukundamala Stotra, which is written by King Kulashekara. I don't know if you have that. Can you pull that up? It's Mantras 36. Mukundamala Stotra by King Kulashekara. It's on Melavis. How does it start? Andhasya me, Rita Viveka. Andhasya me. A-N-D-H-A-S-Y-A. Me. It starts with that. You're going to find a lot of Andhasya me here. Maybe I should give you something else. Andhasya me, Rita Viveka Mahadhanasya. That's it. That's the verse. Beautiful verse. So, andhasya me rita viveka mahadhanasya chaurayihi prabhubalibhir indriya namadhiyai mohanda kupa kuhare vinipatitasya devesha dehi kripanasya karavalambam. Kara, there's the word, kara. So, andhasya me rita viveka mahadhanasya. I am blind, Kulashekara is saying, Maharaj Kulashekara. Because I have lost rita, lost vivek, discrimination, which is my greatest wealth, mahadhanasya. My greatest wealth I have lost of discrimination. Why? By whom? Because of what? Chaurahi, by thieves. Who are these thieves? They have the name, namadhiya, indriya. These are the senses. The thieves known as the senses, balibhir, which are extremely strong, have stolen the wealth of my discrimination. And I have become blind. This is the first two lines. Moha andhakupa kuhare, in the blind well of illusion. Vinipati tasya, I have fallen into a blind well of illusion because of this. Devesha, O Lord of all lords, Dehi, please give me. Kripanasya, I am most unfortunate. Karavalamman, the help of your hand. Kara. This is exactly what's happening in this pastime. So, it's identical. Somebody's fallen into the well. Krishna, with his touch, is transforming them into their original Swarupa, which is, in this case, he was a demigod. So I was struck by the similarity between this world and the actual pastime, so I thought I would share that with you. So, let's see what else I planned to say. I want to make the point here. Should I do it? I'll try. The Srimad Bhagavatam is an answer to six questions in the first canto raised by the sages in Naimisharanya who are questioning Suta Goswami. One of those questions, I'll read here. Tasya karmani udarani parigitani suribhi. I don't know if this is the first canto, first chapter or second chapter. Tasya karmani, first chapter. Udarani parigitani suribhi bruhina shraddhananam nilayadatta kala. Tasya karmani. That's it. So, let's look at the translation. His transcendental acts are magnificent and gracious, and great learned sages like Narad sing of them. Please, therefore, speak to us, who are eager to hear about the adventures he performs in his various incarnations. So you can see today's verses are an answer to this question, really. We are in the 10th canto, thousands of verses later, but the theme is still there. We are discussing Krishna Leela in response to questions like this.
कृतवान किल कर्माणि सह रामेण केशव अतिमर्त्यानि भगवान रूढ़ कपट मानुष.
आई थिंक इट्स लेटर समटाइम इट डजंट मैटर इट्स फाइन. सो लॉर्ड कृष्णा प्रॉपर ट्रांसलेट्स द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड अलोंग विद बलराम प्लेड लाइक अ ह्यूमन बीइंग एंड सो मस्ट ही परफॉर्म मेनी सुपर ह्यूमन एक्ट्स. दिस इज सुपर ह्यूमन. All the other children, even though they are Vishnu Tattva, we are ignoring that now, they were not able to bring him out. This is a huge lizard. For Krishna, by the touch of his left hand, that's enough. So, Ati Martyani, Superman. Martya means somebody who dies. Ati, superhuman acts. These are superhuman acts. Describe to us what those are. So, this is again an answer to this. Now the question comes, the first two chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam are really very important to study. Now, why is it, and actually the sages ask this question, and I'm explaining what Sridhar Swami says in his purports. They ask, well, why is it when we know that Krishna's pastimes are purifying, they are the only way, they are the only solution, why are people not listening to them? So they say, how will we get the interest? To this question, Suta Goswami answers, Shushrusho Shraddhana Seya Vasudeva Katharuchi Syat Mahatsevaya Vipraha Punya Tirtha Nishevana. Srila Swami explains, there is a sequence of events that has to happen for the interest to come about. First, Punya Tirtha Nishevana. One has to go to holy places of pilgrimage. This temple is a holy place of pilgrimage. We may not have interest. You know, we may not have the time. Mostly it is interest. You can make time if you have interest. So come to the temple. Punya Tirtha Nishevana. That's the first sequence. First step. When that happens, Mahat Sevaya Vipraha. We come into the association of devotees. This association by nature is service. We don't have to do anything. I mean, we should. But even if we had no desire to serve the devotees, we just brought ourselves in physical proximity of devotees. That's enough. Because that, and I'll explain what happens with that. In the first or second chapter again, it's explained, Ganga, Swardhuni, Apa, the waters of the Ganga purify, but only after a long time. But if you're just in the physical proximity of devotees, that purifies immediately. Sadhya, Unanti, Upasprushtaha, just by the Sprushtaha, sparsha, the touch. You don't have to be physically touched. Just be in the association of devotees. Put yourself in the association of devotees. Then what happens? You have served them already. Because the devotees are pleased when they see another soul coming to hear the Bhagavatam. And they give their mercy freely. Krishna is all pure. Can you imagine if Krishna was in your home, he manifested, he came to your door, you would be purified immediately. Punanti, sadhyam. But Krishna's purifying power is present in the devotees also. It's mystical. So if you place ourselves in association of devotees, just by coming to Punya Tirtha, first you have to come to the Punya Tirtha, then place yourself in the association. You don't have to talk to anybody if you don't feel like it, but just be there. So then, Syat Mahatseva Vipraha, what happens next? Shraddha, Shraddhanasya, faith. In this dharma, which is this dharma? Aparadharma and Paradharma. This is Paradharma. So, this dharma of chanting and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. One had to get some faith in it by just being in the temple. And once that one gets that faith, Shushrushoho, the desire to hear comes. Let me hear something. And when the desire to hear hearing comes, Vasudeva Katharuchihi, the interest to hear Krishna's pastimes comes. It's born automatically. The first step is coming to the temple. Put yourself in association devotees. That gives faith in the dharma, in the Bhagavad Dharma. That gives the desire to hear. That gives interest, ruchi, in Vasudev Katha. And once we get the ruchi, we are done. Because Shravanam Kirtanam, those two angas are enough. So I want to conclude with a song. I don't know how it's going to go. I'll try. This is a verse that I like very much, composed by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He's glorifying Raja pastimes.
आराध्यो भगवान, आराध्यो भगवान, भगवान आराध्यो भगवान। प्रजुषतनयः आराध्यो भगवान्। रम्या काचित् उपासना व्रज वधु वर्गेण, व्रज वधु वर्गेण वाकल्पिता आराध्यो श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रमाणममलम्। श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रमाणममलम् प्रेमापमर्थो महान्। श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभोरमदमिदम् तत्रादरो नापरः, तत्रादरो नापरः आराध्यो भगवान्, भगवान् सो आराध्यो भगवान। कृष्णा भगवान इज द ट्रू आराध्य वर्शिपेबल डीटी। आराध्य भगवान ब्रजेश तनयः, ही इज द सन ऑफ नंद महाराज ब्रजेश। तद धाम वृंदावन एंड हिज वृंदावन धाम इज ऑल्सो वर्शिपेबल। रम्या काचित उपासना ब्रज वधु वा कल्पिता, the worship of the gopis is also worshipable. It's the most pleasing, ramya, to Krishna, this upasana. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamamalam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost, spotless Puran, Pramanamalam. And its conclusion is Prema Pumartho Maham. The supreme goal of human life is prema for Krishna, love for Krishna. Whose opinion is this? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ramatam Idam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's opinion is all these three lines. And Tatra Adarah Naha Paraha. We have the most respect, the highest respect for this, these three conclusions. This is what Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says. So we are indeed most fortunate that we have the opportunity to listen to Krishna's pastimes by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So I'll close here in the comments and questions.
Prabhu, I didn't quite get this point. You were saying, you were mentioning in a commentary, I think, of Sridhar Swami and Shushusho Shodhanasha. Is that really necessary to do any service? One just has to be in the proximity of devotees and then he's purified?
It is not recommendation. It is not the recommendation. It is a question of people who have no interest, you know. It's for different people, different levels. So, of course, you have to have some sincerity. The sages at Naimisharanya, they are praying for those who have Manda Sumanda Matayo, that's the context. Manda Bhagya, Alpa, Yushaha, these people, how are they going to get interested in this? What should they do? They're asking questions for Bruhi me, the benefit of these people, not for themselves. But of course, once they get that, then we get the Adav Shuddhata Pasadu Sangha Bhajana Kriya, they get sucked in. It's the inviting them first and getting them into the temple. But I don't have any interest, why should I go to the temple? I don't have any, it's boring. I've heard it all, I know all of it. That's a lot of the people have that problem. I know all of it, but what do I need to come here? But that's a symptom of the disease. We have to, if we don't have ruchi for Krishna Katha, then we are diseased. Even though we might know the whole philosophy. Yeah. So, but it's not the recommendation, not the recommendation for devotees. Not definitely for sadhakas, no. But it's the initial condition that I'm talking about. Adho Shraddha. Where will that Shraddha come from? Put yourself in the association of devotees. And this is a well-established principle. Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, Jiva Goswami explains this also. That Shraddha comes from the association of devotees. And the association of devotees, that Shraddha is not a material, blind faith kind of Shraddha. That's a transcendental Shraddha.
I heard a lecture from Indrajumna Maharaj, and in that verse, he explains what he said is by rendering service to the Mahat, to the pure devotees of the Lord, one gets the taste for hearing Krishna Katha. Mm-hmm. He explained it this way. By rendering service to the pure devotees of the Lord, then he gets the taste for hearing Krishna.
Then from so the ruchi, you could say the ruchi is the taste. And then there are two intermediate steps, faith and desire to hear, and then ruchi. It's all true. So, you know, Prabhupada translates this verse differently. He doesn't present the sequence of events in this verse. But like we know, you know, these verses, they can be explained by the acharyas, different acharyas in many different ways. And that's part of the infinite nature of Krishna and his message. But I like this sequence. When I have the steps, for some reason that's how I'm detail-oriented. So when I have the steps, then it helps my comprehension. I'm able to organize and classify, and it becomes manageable for my brain. So I like Sridhar Swami's explanation here. And it's also consistent with, that's why this previously it comes in this chapter also, how the Ganga, you have to serve her repeatedly to be purified. So in India, people go to pilgrimage. She'll take dips in the Ganga, and they have to do it again and again. And when that happens, she'll get purified. But Ganga is a devotee of Krishna. Yes, although she came from the toes of Krishna's lotus feet, but the devotee is actively serving Krishna. His physical, just proximity with him purifies. That's what Sridhar Swami explains. That's the power of the devotee. Although Ganga purifies after repeated service, the devotee, we can see this in Prabhupada's Leelas, that Srila Prabhupada went with the Mridanga, sat in the central park. People started dancing. He didn't really preach to them, say any philosophy. People just joined him, right? By the droves. How is that? Just his presence. I think Sesha Prabhu once gave a lecture on this many moons ago. And just by his presence, he can influence. Because he's like Krishna. Sakshad Haritvena Samastha Shastre. He's Sakshad Hari. And Hari is like that. That's Hari's nature. That's the Vastu Shakti. But that doesn't mean now we stop serving the spiritual master. That's not what that's not the intended message. But it's intended for those that don't have any inclination at all. So come put yourself in the association of devotees. That's the idea. Smata Jero.
Prabhu, always a pleasure listening to you in your Sanskrit. It's is delightful. I was just going to contribute a little comment about the proximity when devotees go out on Harinam and chant in the streets, which we did for years and years. And then when we didn't show up for years and years, people were like, well, where were you? They don't know anything about us, really, but they missed us and they wanted to see us again. And now the trend is getting more that people are out in the streets with a lot of enthusiasm, and that's a huge contribution. And they may not have interest in anything, but they are in proximity of the holy name.
Yes, that's true. Thank you. Okay, so we'll close. Thank you, Prema.